Good morning. I want to share a couple of things before we get started this morning. One, and I think everybody's heard, and our sympathy and our prayers go out to Calvin and to Dan. Calvin's sister passed away 2 days ago. Yeah, Thursday. For those who are interested, visitation today from 12 to 3. Service is at 3 o'clock, and this will be at Burke Tubbs. So anyway, just prayers for them. And as always, as we go through these times, it's always nice to know that we have some family praying for us. I have a card I want to read that Marge brought in this morning, and I'll just share this with you. It said, "Our family wants to thank our church family for all the prayers, cards, and memorials. Also for making Sharon's memorial service special and blessed by God. You are the greatest, and we love you very much. An extra special thank you for all who worked with the food. I know it's a lot of work, but very much appreciated. God bless. We love you." And that's the Sharon Bamberg family. And Marge, we love you too, and it's good to see you and have you here. This morning, I want us to do something, and I may be all wet. I find I land there quite a bit, but sometimes something just strikes me and something just hits me, and I have to do it. This morning, before we get into the message, here's what I want you to do. Maybe I should set it up ahead of time so that you understand why I'm doing this. Your enemy, the devil. Now, we'll hear more of this later on. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, waiting to devour whomever he wants. Today, as we talk, and today as we're here, right now, sitting in this sanctuary, many people's minds are anywhere but here. And I want us to go into this service, and I want us to go into this message with our hearts and our minds focused on God. If you're here today, and I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but just to yourself, nod your head. If you're here today and you have a physical issue going on, a physical ailment, talk to God. How many of you are hurting today? How many are concerned about a physical situation going on that you don't have answers to? If you're here today and you have some emotional things going on, either you're angry or you're hurt or you're thinking about things around you that don't seem fair, take it to God right now. If you're here today and your mind is dancing to what you're going to do when the service is done. Are we going to go to lunch? Are we going to get together? Are we going to do this? Are we going to do that? If your mind is anywhere but here, you need to give it to God. Because God can't touch your heart. He can't touch your life. He can't do anything for you until you have taken all of the stuff that the devil has put in there as barricades and you've thrown it away. If you don't do that, how can he penetrate? And this is how Satan works. And there's a shield, there's a wall. And you know what? God kicks the walls down. He kicks them down. It's not a barrier. So what is your distraction this morning? What is going to keep you from getting the most out of this message? Maybe it's, I don't like so-and-so. Give it to God. I didn't have you raise your hands today, but pretty much we've touched every heart in this room. And now I call you to a time of prayer. And just for a moment, I'm not going to pray. I'll say amen at the end. But I want you to bow your heads. I want you to think about what is your distraction. What is it that the devil is pulling you away from? That keeps you from getting what God has for you today. What is it? Bow your heads, and for a moment of silence and a moment of prayers, you talk to God. You talk to God. Amen. Today, and think about when looking at the roots of Labor Day, seeing the evil and the greed that exists on both sides when it comes to this thing we call labor, it begs the question, is this really something that we should be celebrating? What about, as we talked this morning, what about the labor strike that started when humanity rebelled against God? You think this strike will be settled? Well, tomorrow is Labor Day, and we look forward to it. And a young man went in, is coming to the end of his job interview. The human resources person asked the young accountant who was really fresh out of school, said, what starting salary were you thinking about? This young accountant, just fresh out of school, just looked at the human resource person, and he said, well, I was thinking in the neighborhood of $100,000 a year, depending on the benefits package. The interviewer looked at this young man and said, well, what would you say to a package of 5 weeks of vacation, full medical and dental, company retirement fund up to 50% of your salary, an executive share option scheme, profit-related pay, and a company car leased every 2 years, say a 5-series BMW? This young accountant sat up straight in his chair, and he said, wow, are you kidding? The interviewer replied, yes, I am, but you started it. I thought it was funnier than that. I want you to understand today's message, and I have to say this because sometimes people jump on things and think I mean something that I'm not meaning. So this is my disclaimer once again. I want you to understand that today's message in no way whatsoever is anti-union, okay? This message today is in no way anti-management, all right? That's not what we're doing here today. And I know that the way it works is you do a message and somebody picks up on the wrong thing because they're not cued into what God's really trying to say. And then after the service, boy, you said something, I'm offended. That's not the purpose today. Listen, when I want to offend you, you'll know it. I don't want to offend you. But it's a message that can upset people. I believe that today, as a nation, we are better because of the hard works that have taken place with unions over the years. And I believe there are businesses that are better as a result of it. And I also believe that there's things that we have today that we would not have had it not been for the whole union movement. So today, I also want you to know, I remember the battles that were fought to bring unions into existence. This is Labor Day. You know what? We would not celebrate Labor Day were it not for unions. That's simple truth. And if we're honest, we have to admit that on both sides there were some pretty unscrupulous people doing some things that they shouldn't have done. In the 1800s, during what is called the Industrial Revolution, both unions and companies would use human workers, and this was a terrible time in American history. They would use human workers like an expendable commodity. Inhumane long hours, subsistence pay, child labor, dangerous conditions, withholding pay, grinding people into the dirt, knowing that there were many more people that could replace those who became sick or maimed or died. And many, many industries did this. Many industries, that's how they operated. Leviticus 19:13 says this, latter part of it, says, "Do not hold back the wages of a hired worker overnight." Then in Deuteronomy 24:14-15, it says, "Do not take advantage of a hired worker who is poor and needy, whether that worker is a fellow Israelite or a foreigner residing in one of your towns. Pay them their wages each day before sunset, because they are poor and are counting on it. Otherwise, they may cry to the Lord against you, and you will be guilty of sin." James 5, beginning in verse 1, it says this, "Now listen, you rich people. Weep and wail because the misery that is coming upon you. Your wealth has rotted, and moths have eaten your clothes. Your gold and silver are corroded, and their corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire. You have hoarded wealth in the last days. Look, the wages you failed to pay the workmen who mowed your fields are crying out against you. The cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty. You have lived on earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You have fattened yourselves in the day of slaughter. You have condemned and murdered innocent men who were not opposing you." Labor Day. Labor Day is celebrating humanity's pathetic attempt to solve the heart of the problem, which is sin, which is at the heart of man. Did those that were being abused cry out to God back during the labor movement? Did they gather and pray? Did they go to the Lord and ask for justice? Perhaps some did, but instead of labor unions were formed and looking at history, some of the battles that the corporation and unions had, it's easy to see that the Prince of Peace was not asked to the negotiation table. Strikes were called. Sometimes these strikes brought about the intimidation of the strikers, and that was arranged by the companies, bringing in this thing called strike busters and even reaching the level of murder. Sometimes the strikers on their side would bomb and otherwise beat and kill company officials. Workers brought in to replace them or fellow workers who dared to cross the picket lines could be killed. There was a shop many years ago when I was in high school that I worked in, and we were thinking about going on strike. And there was a guy in there, and he'd been there for years, and he kind of had a bigger mouth than body, okay? But in his cowardly statement, he made this statement as we're talking about going on strike. "If we go on strike and anyone crosses the picket line, we know where their wife and children live." And then, on top of that hatred and greed from both sides, were these things called the union bosses. Don't get me wrong, they're not all bad, but there were some that were horrible. They fanned the flames of whatever would work to their advantage. They took care of themselves more than anyone else. Labor Day. We love the day off, but the battle still goes on. And I have to ask the question, is it something we should really be celebrating? Well, of course, we get the day off. You know, there was a time when management, God, and the labor force, mankind, all walked together in peace and harmony. The Lord God had created everything, including man, and he had given man a purpose. Genesis 2:15 says, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it." It was paradise. The Creator had worked to create the world and all that was in it. He was still working to sustain the life of all of creation. Adam and Eve's simple task was to take care of just one small piece of creation. Well, we all know when the break in management and labor relations came, don't we? Adam and Eve disobeyed the one command that they had been given. They thought the boss, you know, the Lord God, was holding out on them. And from that point on, it was mostly rebellion by humanity with God in pursuit, calling us back to himself, and most of us refusing to return. So the Lord sent negotiators. These negotiators had names. I'm sorry, my throat's dry this morning. I'm trying to keep it wet. Anyway, the negotiators had names. There was Noah and Abraham, Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses, I'm sorry. Joseph, Samuel, David, Solomon, Josiah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, and then there's, of course, John the Baptist. God sent his messengers. He sent the ones, the arbitrators, the negotiators, the ones to come and say, this is really how we can settle this. This is how we can have peace. This is how we can work together and have the life that this originally intended. They were all rejected. And then comes Jesus, the Savior of the world. He gave his life for the reconciliation of God and man. He was pretty serious about having that relationship be what it should be. And after that, he sent more people to tell of this plan of reconciliation. Men like Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Peter, Paul, and Mary. Oh, wait a minute. Peter and Paul, James and Jude. He sent them all to tell the story. Now, before Jesus came, the Holy Spirit was active, but not in the same way he has been since Jesus returned to heaven. So even now, the Holy Spirit is urging us to come to the place of peace provided by the death of Jesus on the cross of Calvary and his resurrection. Folks, this is the battle that's taking place. This is the strike that is taking place, the real strike, where mankind has said, I don't want to do what the boss has told me to do. I don't want to live the life that he has told me to live. I will sin. I will do what I want, and the consequences I don't worry about, at least when it comes to the eternal consequences. We like to ignore them. If I don't do my job, so what? What's God going to do? Strike me dead? Look out. I'm on strike. I'm not going to do what the boss wants because the boss doesn't really care about what's best for me. And the strike goes on. God had a plan of reconciliation. And in his vast wisdom and knowledge, he knew that real life could only be found in a loving relationship with him. But because of sin, we were born blinded to the reality of that truth by the world's negotiator. Remember who the world's negotiator is? We refer to him as Satan. And he blinds us to the truth of God. He blinds us to, as we come in here this morning, and I talked about having our minds focused on God and focused on the message and not looking at the things around us and all that. You know, he blinds us to that. We come to church and it's like, I'm here, but I'm going to let my mind go here. I'm going to go somewhere else, and I'm not going to be anywhere that I have to actually listen to the message. I don't want to hear what's being said in there, because if I hear what's being said, then I'm going to have to do something in my life that's different. And that's the truth. But the only way you're going to hear the truth, the only way you're going to know that God is working in you and is working to bless your life, is to come and to listen and to absorb what's being said. Get rid of the other thoughts. Get rid of the distractions, because the negotiator of the world is leading you in the wrong direction. Oh, but I'm saved. I got salvation. The negotiator in the world is leading you in the wrong direction, because he doesn't want you to continue to walk the path you started. There's a strike. And so, here's the Labor Day point to all of this. The world is on strike against the management of the universe. The devil is on strike against God, has been for a long time. The devil, oh, he loves organizing protests. How many of you have seen some of the devil's protests? You don't have to go very far, and you see it happening. Turn the television on and watch a half hour of the news, and you see it happening. The devil uses the philosophies of this world to falsely accuse God and his followers of being evil and hateful. If you follow God today, and if you do what Scripture tells us we're to do, and you live the life that we're supposed to live, and you stand up for God the way you're supposed to, listen, Christian, brothers and sisters in Christ, you're the bad guy. You're the bad guy. The world has fallen to the point of saying, if you stand up for Christ, you're wrong. If you put out your Christian view of the things of the world, of morality and success and anything else, you go with that world view, or you don't go with the world view, you're wrong. Eat, drink, and be merry. We talked about that last week, remember? For tomorrow we die. And Satan would have you buy into that. Satan would have you accept that and say, that's how I'm going to live my life. And it's scary. Gene once owned an ambulance company. Most of you know that. I was an EMT and fireman for 17 years. And I saw time and time again, and I know Gene did too, and that's why I mentioned it, and others of you may have had this type of experience that I don't know about, but time and time and time again, I saw death on the faces of those who had said, I will do what the world says is fun rather than do what God says is right. I've looked in the face of death and seen that young person laying there dying. I've held their head in my hand as they breathed their last, thinking that they could never be harmed. So they followed the world. And a young man one time rolled his eyes up and looked at me. He says, I'm sorry, and he died. And he was 17 years old. The world and its negotiator deceive what is right and tries to convince us that we can ignore God. You can't, guys, because ultimately you're going to stand before him. You know what he does when we stand before him? He says, tell me about your life. How did you live it? For those that have received Christ, by the way, I don't want to take this away. You've got the kingdom. But we still have to stand accountable for stuff in our life. Oh, well, good then. I've already inherited the kingdom, so I can do what I want. And when God says, hey, what'd you do with your life? I can say, well, I did this, and I did this, and I did this. Okay, now open the door and let me in. Because the negotiator of the world has convinced you that's how it works. If you are called as a child of God, you got to live it. The evil one is just convincing the horde of people that true riches and fulfillment are found in the things of this world. And many follow him to his destruction and to theirs. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be alert and sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. The Lord, on the other hand, has a plan of true reconciliation, which brings life. Reconciliation with Jesus Christ and peace, the peace of forgiveness. This reconciliation brings the assurance of eternal life with God. It brings the joy of a healed soul. In John 10:10, Jesus says, the thief, that's the devil, comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. And he says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Listen, he didn't say that you may have life and be the richest person in your town. But he did say that you may have life and have it to the full. There is an abundant life right here that God has for us if we live for him and if we work with him and walk with him and talk with him and live our lives for him. That abundant life is inside. And it's more than what we think it is. And if you're walking around empty inside, if the struggles of this world are bringing you down, if the things and decisions that you've made are breaking your heart, you know what? You got to get it right with God. Because that's where peace comes from, and that's where we find the abundant life. If you're not enjoying that abundant life, you've got an issue with God, and you've got a heart condition. That heart condition isn't trusting God to take care of the stuff you need to trust God to take care of. This is very real. This is very real. Reconciliation with Jesus also brings the realization that you were once lost. Did you ever think back on that? And we sing that song, I once was lost, but now I see, or now I'm found. I've only sung that 10 million times, so, and I told you 20 million times never to exaggerate. Yeah. Reconciliation, an awareness that we sin, an awareness that we're lost without God, and that we have family and friends who are eternally lost. Some of our work for God will be undoing what we did when we were spiritually on strike. I remember. And I'm aware of the things before I was walking the way God wanted me to. And you know, he's forgiven me. He's forgiven you too, folks. I wish I could forgive me. I'm being honest. I wish I could forgive me. And there's just some things that lie so deep within. I know God's forgiven me. And my prayer has to be, help me to forgive me. Some of your hardest work is that undoing. The things you did when you were spiritually on strike. There's a word called sabotage. And sabotage derives from the Netherlands in the 15th century when workers would throw their, they were called sabots, which were wooden shoes,
into the wooden gears of the textile looms to break the cogs. And they did this fearing that the automated machines would render the human workers obsolete. It's called job security. Oh, if those looms don't work, then I've got a job. Just imagine what sabotage we caused when we were living in the bondage of sin. How many times, and I'm gonna be real blunt with this in a minute, how many times did our actions cause damage to the kingdom of God? And I want to take it a step further with that, because instead of talking about before you were with Christ, I'm going to talk about today. Christian, how many times do your actions cause others to stumble? And they look and say, that person's a Christian. They get mad. They party, wild parties. They cuss. You know, whatever else. And they're Christians. And we stand up on days and say, yes, I'm a Christian. Look at me. Aren't I great? Well, pride, we've already talked about that too a couple of weeks ago. Guys, that's the strike, even as Christians, saying, God, I'm not going to do what you want. And we let it run loose. The way we treat others and the way we live our life that make others think, well, if that's what Christianity is, what's the difference in it in the world? And if that's Christianity, the truth is there isn't a difference. But that's not Christianity. That's not the walk that God has for us. That's the sabotage that comes from Satan, causing us to damage the kingdom of God. How many times have we either, as Christians or not, have we enticed others to sin with us? Hey, this is going on. Come and join me. The times that we lied or cheated or abused someone in some way that would make it almost impossible for us to tell them about Jesus today. How many times have we had to look with our heads down because we're ashamed of what people have seen and we don't want them to know that we're Christians? How many times have we ridiculed Christ and His church in front of someone who maybe was thinking about turning to Jesus for salvation and for answers? The times we lived lukewarm Christian lives in front of those who are watching to see if there really was something different about being a Christian. My mind floats off sometimes, folks, and I have to pull myself back in. Sabotage. Yes, the truth is we've all committed sabotage against the kingdom of God at one time or another. But it's Labor Day weekend, and instead of thinking about the travesty of celebrating the ongoing war between some companies and some workers who are operating by the principles of the world and not by the principles of the kingdom of God, let's think or meditate on the work that God has set before us, that we may undo the sabotage of the devil and do the work of God. First, the only way to be part of this great endeavor is to be a born-again Christian. Step one, you're going to fight the devil, you better get on the right side. And you got to be born again. I have to admit that before we come to Christ, we're sinners and we need to confess our sins. Oh, come on, Pastor, you're beating me up today. I don't want to talk about my sin to God. I don't want to talk about it to myself. I don't want to confess my sins to anybody or God. You want your life to be the way it's supposed to be and you want to be done with this strike, you need to be talking to the boss. And you need to be confessing. Oh, he already knows. But we're to confess We confess our sin. 1 John 1, 8 through 10 says this, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. You are a liar, and the truth isn't in you. That's what that passage says. If you claim to be this person that has no sin, you're telling a lie. Well, I'm perfect. Ding, little halo. No. Scripture says, if I say that, if I say I don't have sin, I'm a liar and have no truth in me. But it goes on and it reads, if we confess our sins, He, being God, is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Now, here's a big, heavy part of this. And if you don't remember anything else, I want you to remember this today. If we claim we have not sinned, we make Him, that is God, we make Him to be a liar, and His word is not in us. So if you claim that you don't sin, if you claim that you've got this life, that you're not having to worry about sin and all this other kind of stuff, you're saying God's a liar and I don't need to listen to Him. I'm going to tell you something, folks. God don't tell lies. He don't tell lies. And we need to listen. After confessing our sins and turning away from the sinful life, we need to trust Jesus for salvation. Acts 16:31. They replied, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. Believe in the Lord Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 1:3, we continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. God has called us. God has called us into His work, which is His kingdom. Where's the kingdom? Is this it here? That's all there is? The kingdom's here. It's outside. It's all around us. The kingdom of God that He wants built is all around us. The work that we're supposed to be doing is all around us. That's the challenge. That's our job. But we're on strike. So that means we don't have to go out on the streets and do anything, do we? Well, we're on strike. Folks, that strike will get you in trouble. The work that we've been called to do is to be a part of building His kingdom. The work can and should be happening wherever we are. And no matter what vocation we have, we are to be ambassadors for Christ, defeating the sabotage of the evil one by the power of the Holy Spirit. And you want to know something? You won't be working alone. You know, God's a really neat boss, isn't He? I really can't think of any boss I've had that every day came and was right there beside me. I can't think of any boss or any place I've ever worked where the boss was right there and ready to help me out when I get into trouble. Or to whisper in my ear, you can do it this way, and that's a better way to do it. I've never had a boss like that except for God. And in doing what God wants me to do, and you in doing what God wants you to do, realize this, you have your boss right there with you. When you go to bed, He's right there. When you get up, He's right there. When you go out and do what He wants you to do, He's right there. He doesn't leave you. He's there for you. That's a pretty good boss. And we need to be doing the work anywhere we can. We are to be ambassadors for Christ. Defeating the sabotage of the evil one by the power of the Holy Spirit. John 4:34, my food, said Jesus, is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work. Jesus had a job to do. Jesus had a job to do. And He did it. And He finished it. John 5:17 says, "My Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working." So the question today, Labor Day 2018, are you working for the kingdom of God? Just as his son came and worked, are you working too? Have you somehow, by your life, sabotaged the work of God recently? You think you might need to pray about it? Do you want to maybe commit to being a more effective worker, working in the fields that God puts before us? The harvest, my friends, is ready. The fields are ripe for picking. But we find that there's a shortage in workers. The world needs these workers today. This strike needs to end. And we need to step up. Would you bow your heads? Heavenly Father, you are our Lord, you're our God. You're the one that we want to follow, that we want to please. Someday, Father, we want to hear your accolades that you say, "Well done," to us. That Jesus is there and he says, "This is one of mine. Well done, my good and faithful servant." The words that we want to hear. But Father, we have a worldly negotiator that is leading us away from you and is telling us lies and false things that want to bring us to the point of following the wrong one. Open our eyes and open our hearts. And Father, I pray that we would come under such a strong conviction of the things that we do wrong, that we want to let go of them and live the life for you that you've designed for us. Let us be your workers in the field. Let us be your ambassadors. Father, this strike that takes place between the world and you, I pray that we'd have no part of that. For we know that Jesus is a great negotiator. And he's already negotiated our pardon. He's already negotiated our eternal life. Because he surrendered his own. So, Father, I lift each one here today up to you, that you would touch their life, that you would bless them, and that they would be truly workers working for you. In Jesus' name I pray.